Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
I'd like to talk to you for a moment as we start a new sermon series called CrossFit. 12 strength strategies for a healthy life. How many of you would like to get stronger with God in the summer? I'm going to help you. This is not for nominal Christians. It is not for lukewarm believers. It is not for believers who do not take their faith seriously. This is for those that are strong and want to become stronger. If that's you, say amen. The title of this message is The Secret of a Foolish Room. I'm going to share with you strategies that God has shown me over the years to keep me strong in God, to give me victory when the devil wanted my name on a chopping block, my head on a chopping block. I'm going to give you strategies for remaining strong above and beyond the frail of nominal Christianity. Things that are going to help you to walk in favor and to see the advancements and the prosperity in your life God wants to give you when he hands the head of Goliath at your feet. One of the things I want you to do is understand 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. It says, for those who are perishing, it means those that are lost, those that are lukewarm, those that don't really have any depth with their walk with God. Those that are perishing, the message of the cross is foolishness. But to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and I will set aside the understanding of the experts. Where is the philosopher? Where is the scholar? Where is the debater of the age? Hasn't God made the world's wisdom foolish? For since in God's wisdom the world did not know God through wisdom, God was pleased to save those who believed through the foolishness of the message preached. For the Jews ask for signs and the Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jew and foolishness to the Gentile. Yet to those who are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ is God's power and God's wisdom. Because God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human wisdom. Somebody say amen. Let me tell you a secret today that many people do not know. I learned it when I was 17 years old, going through what at that time was the worst trial of my life. I went up to a saint. As a matter of fact, she was in the church we just inherited. Her name was Sister Eva. She had hair on top of her head, but she lived right and she was kind. And she walked up to me and said, honey, what was wrong? She had an accent from Eastern Kentucky. And I said, Sister Eva, I don't know what to do. And that woman looked at me, and I can't tell this story still to this day without weeping. She looked at me and she said, well, honey, you got to tarry. I said, excuse me? She says, you got to learn how to tarry, sweetheart. I said, I don't understand what you're saying. She says, baby, listen to me. When your back's against the wall and the devil's on your hide, you got to learn to run. Sister Justice told me the same thing sitting with Sister Eva. Says, you got to learn to run into a secret place with God. Not the place you pray and you walk. I like to pray by the pool. I like to pray at Audubon Park hiking. I like to pray at Massaville Park with my headphones on. I like to pray by my swimming pool. I like to pray for a lot of places, but I'm not talking about that kind of prayer. I'm talking about when you know you're about to get an advancement in your life, when you're about to get a promotion, when you are, for some reason, you're in uncanny spiritual warfare. It seems like everything went wrong at the same time. Anyone ever experienced that? Can I see a hand? You were doing great. Everything. That's spiritual warfare. And I learned that if I would find a place and bury my face, and she said, my honey, she said, tarrying means that you go find a place alone and you bury your face in the floor and you pray like you've never prayed before and you don't get up till you know God's heard you. I said, Sister Eva, I don't know how do you know when you're done? How do you know when God's heard you? She looked at me, she twinkled in her eyes. She said, sweetheart, you'll know. You'll know when God's heard you. I got almost 2 doctorates, a double master's, a bachelor's degree, but I've never had greater wisdom given to me in all my life than that. Because I have learned that when I need something from God, or I know God has something for me and the devil's holding it back from me, or when he's aggravating me in all these little ways, it's because God is about to do something fresh and new in my life. And I've learned how to go and find a foolish place that the world makes no sense. And if you're a nominal Christian, you're clueless this morning. But I've learned to go find a foolish place and bury my face in the carpet and not get up till God heard me. Till I knew in my spirit, man, I had won the war. Now, I want to teach you something this morning that I don't teach novices. Number one, you got to learn the benefits of a foolish room. It's not just for bad days, it's for days of promotion. It's for a place where victory is born. You ever felt like you were on the edge of victory? Can I see hands? It's a place where miracles happen. How many believe God still does miracles? It's a place where advancements take place. It's a place where you get down and dirty with God and you raise R-A-Z-E hell. It's a place where you birth a breakthrough. God has already won the victory. You don't fight for victory. You fight from victory. But there are things that hold you back. The prince of Persia at one time held back one of the prayer warriors of God in Daniel chapter 10. And they said something interesting. It said, God heard you the first day you prayed. But I've been held up by the prince of Persia, the angelic being said. He was fighting me, keeping me from answering your prayer. You've got to learn how to obtain victory. And I've learned the greatest lessons of my life is that when I am getting ready for prosperity, promotion, advancement, or I know I'm doing the will of God, and we'll get into this in just a minute, I see an uncanny attack in my life. Case in point, I've been asking God for more prosperity. I've been asking God to help me and Jenny increase our tithes. He's done that. He's doing that in our lives. And we did that, and we obeyed him, and we were faithful. The storm happens this week, and all of a sudden, my air conditioner goes out and gets blown away through a power surge. The refrigerator downstairs, the best refrigerator in the house, went $3,000-something, went down, out. The water caused what's those things called? Gutters. Yeah, those things. It caused them to fall and to be fall apart. And I found myself, I said, this makes me mad. Now, have you ever had something happen to you and it makes you mad spiritually? Can I see your hands? That is the Spirit of God beginning to deal with you, because I knew that wasn't a natural thing. I knew it was a result of obedience out of mine and Jenny's life for doing what God had called me to do. And when you get to the place in your life, you will grow up and you will learn that the best place you can ever take a battle is into a foolish place. And to go into a foolish place, a foolish room, a prayer closet, and not come out until you or the devil dies. Now, the Bible says in Matthew 6:6, it says, you go into a room. And that word room is the Greek word, which means there's a closet and then there's a hidden place behind the closet. And it says that, whatever you do when you pray, you don't pray in front of people so that they see you. There's nothing wrong with praying in front of people, but God says, don't pray like the hypocrites. They want you to see them pray. He says, you pray in a secret place. The Old Testament tells us there's two kinds of people. There's those that seek him and those that don't seek him. And you need to understand that when you understand the benefits of a foolish place, that you got to go outside to a separate place to get what you need from God. Your regular place of prayer, your regular time of prayer, your regular whatever is not going to cut it. Ottoman State Park, hiking with your Beats on, Dr. Dre Beats, is not going to get it. You got to go in like I do for a lot of you, and you'll never know it till you get in heaven. Some of you, I don't even know your name, but I know your face, and I'll be laying right there by myself in this building alone. I hope I'm alone, because if somebody ever walked up on me, it would cause me to have a heart attack, and they would go crazy and think I'm nuts when they heard me pray. But I'll lay right there on my face before God, and I'll anoint every chair in this building, and I'll call out your name, or I'll see your face, and I'll intercede for you. I have learned that when the devil wants to take what God has given me, I got to fight to keep it sometimes. And I've learned that as long as I let him bully me, he's going to bully me. But the moment, sweetheart, you ever learn how to drag the natural into the supernatural, the moment you ever learn how to get alone in a foolish room and call out to God and tell the devil what he's not going to do in your life, quote the word of God, and begin to intercede with the power of the Holy Ghost that gives you a boldness, there ain't a devil in hell that's going to enter into that room, because the presence of God is going to be there, and it's going to break in the supernatural what you've been dealing with. And so when you look at that, you look at Exodus 33 and 7, Israel had to engage in idolatry. You know the greatest sin you can do against God is to put something before him on Sunday mornings? That's the beginning of idolatry. And so Moses went outside, and the Bible says he pitched a tent. He pinched a tent outside, so there was a remnant of people. And the Bible says that those that went outside the camp of Israel and pitched a tent were the ones that attended the tabernacle. There are Christians who have fire insurance policies. There are Christians who come out of guilt. There are Christians who come because they just know it's the right thing to do. And then there's some of us in this room who know our God and know his exploits. You got to go pitch a tent. You got to do it differently. In 2 Chronicles 14 and 7, the Bible says there was a king named Asa. And here's what it said. It says this in 2 Chronicles 14 and 7. It said, King Asa understood that it was God that blessed him and kept his enemies at peace with him, because he sought the Lord, quote unquote. And when he sought the Lord, he was given rest on every side. And he built and he prospered. How many of you would like to have rest on every side? How many of you would like to build something great? How many of you would like to prosper? Somebody say amen. If you want more from God, if you want God to lay the head of Goliath at your feet, then you need to realize you got to understand your blessings came from God, not your own self flesh and your work. That's the problem. God blesses us, and I need some help up here. I cannot hear myself. You got to realize that when you're prospering, how many of you have been blessed by God? Can I see hands? All right. You got to realize you're blessed by God not because of your work. He blessed your work. He used your work. He used your obedience. But everything you got right now is because God gave it to you. If it wasn't for God, you wouldn't have a job. If it wasn't for God, you wouldn't have a new wife. If it wasn't for God, you wouldn't have nothing. And so King Asa had to learn. And he, in the Bible says, in his early days of his life, he learned that everything he had was from God, but he had favor from God because he sought God. And then the Bible turns around and says in 2 Chronicles 14 and 11 that when King Asa got attacked, the first thing he did was fall on his face in a foolish place. And he fell on his face and he turned to God. And you know what happened to Asa? He won the war. He gained victory. But all of a sudden, in a period of his life, a prophet named Azariah came to Asa and said, I want you to understand something. And here's the word of the Lord to you, Asa. As long as you seek God, you'll be found by God. But the moment you stop seeking God, God will not protect you. That's what he was told. Because the prophet knew that King Asa would be tempted to think that he did it in his own flesh. So 2 Chronicles 15 and 2, he gives them a warning. You want to be victorious? Continue to seek God. You want to lose? Seek God less. You want victory and healing? You want to keep what God... How many of you have ever been blessed by God and you felt like you lost some of it? It's ringing up here, guys. Well, that's because after you got what you wanted from God, you stopped seeking him less. I know people that never missed church when they were single, and now that they're married, they come once a month. They used to sit at this altar and beg God for a wife. And after God answered their prayer, J. Edgar Hoover and the FBI couldn't find them 5 days out of six. There's a guy named King Uzziah in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 5. It says, as long as you sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. But he stopped seeking the Lord and he got leprosy and died a shameful death. Satan wants to steal your advancements. He wants to steal your prosperity. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal what God has given you. So number two, you need to understand that foolish rooms are for spiritual warfare. Now I'm really going to start talking to the mature. You need to understand you're living in a spiritual world. That there's good and there's evil. There's a God and there's an entity called Satan. And most of you live in a world where you're completely unaware that demons or evil is an entity with an identity. C.S. Lewis gives us good wisdom right now. He says, there are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devils. Jeremy, I need your help. One is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. So there's this balance to where the devil wants us to believe he's not real. That there isn't demonic activities and beings. And then, and I feel the spiritual warfare going on this morning. And then there's this sense that people are unhealthy about demons. I don't want to talk to a demon. I don't want to conversate with a demon. I just want to say in the name of Jesus, get out. I ain't got nothing to say to them. So when it comes to spiritual warfare, now listen to me carefully. Spiritual warfare is an issue of evil. It started in the Garden of Eden when he showed up an unintelligent person about spiritual warfare. Adam and Eve had never, ever dealt with warfare. And now he shows up in the garden. And Satan unwitted them out of ignorance. They didn't know how to fight back. Enmity between God and man took place. But I want everyone in here to understand and hear me well this morning. When it comes to spiritual warfare between you and the other side, over your advancements, over your children's deliverance, over your job, over your prosperity, whatever it is God's got for you because he wants to do good things for you, you got a shield around you. There's a difference between you. As a matter of fact, Genesis 15:1 said, God tells Abraham after a battle to restore his possessions, he said, I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. Psalms 3:3, David speaks of a shield divinely protecting me. In Psalms 5:12, it says, for you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor, and you will surround the righteous with a shield. People who live lukewarm don't have shields. People who live in sin and have fire insurance policies for salvation, they don't have shields. Be not deceived. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. But for those that call on the Lord, those aces that know where their blessings have come from, those people who love God with all their heart, all their soul, and all their mind, those people who know the power of a foolish room, the Bible says there is a shield around you. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. Oh, I'm preaching to the wrong place. You got hot dogs on your mind. You may not need it today, but you'll need it next week if you don't wake up pretty quick. For those that are strong believers, your strength comes because there's a shield. And you have a shield because you seek him. And when you don't seek him, your shield of protection is let down. Fireproof shield to three Babylonian boys. Lion repellent to Daniel. Ephesians 6 says, you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and darknesses of the air and spiritual wickednesses in high places. Now you may not believe that, but you're the fool. I used to love horror movies. I'd go see them all the time. Now I won't touch them. Not the ones dealing with demonic stuff. I won't go near them. I was 18 years old. No, I was 21. Fresh, I just got out of college. And I was pastoring a mega church, a youth pastoring a mega church in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Had started with 60 kids, ended up with 500. And there was a group of kids on this side of that 700-seat sanctuary that fought, cussed, brought guns and knives, mocked me while I preached, literally. And there was a group, when we started, over here of church kids. Didn't know God a bit more than a man in the moon. And there started being growth because the power of God started taking place, and it was growing by the hundreds. Kids falling out in the Holy Spirit, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, starting Bible clubs. It was a revival that took place. And one night I gave an altar call, and a drug dealer named Jeff walks up to me, 6 foot something, very strong, worked out, very muscular, and I laid hands on him. I didn't know what to do because I didn't know how to handle what was going on in the supernatural. It was unnatural. And so I started finding a place to pray, and two things happened. I laid hands on this boy, and I saw him start to shake, and his eyes rolled to the back of his head. And if I was about to die in 5 minutes, I'd tell you the same story. He shook like the Incredible Hulk does on the new movie, you know, when he turns into the Green Man. And I watched this kid growl at me. This kid was not raised in church. He was abandoned by his father. I was a father figure to him. That's why he was there. And I didn't know what to do, but I remembered Sister Justice, and my mom, and Sister Eva would tell me, take authority over the devil. That's all I had to go on. In the name of Jesus, you command that thing to stop. And I laid hands on that boy and said, in the name of Jesus, you come out of him. And I watched him shake like an earthquake and fall to the ground like a lifeless body. After he got up, a spirit of peace had hit him while he was on the floor. And I put my arms around him. I walked out that church. And I said, Jeff, what happened to you? And he said, I don't know. He goes, I just remember getting so angry and thinking that if I had a gun, I'd blow your brains out. The devil hates you. I didn't know what to do about this spiritual activity with these kids because it was above and beyond my training, above and beyond psychotherapy, above and beyond all of that. And the only thing I knew to do was go find a foolish place. And I went into a foolish place and I began to pray. And buddy, you would have thought somebody was killing me. I buried my face in the carpet and I screamed and I pleaded and I rebuked and I quoted scriptures and I cried God as loud as I could cry, and I didn't care who saw me. My hair probably was messed up. I was sweating. God only knows what was going on. And I was laying on the stage of that church. And I remember distinctively seeing the presence of God remove a darkness over that side of the sanctuary. I saw it like I'm looking at you. And I never had another problem. Jeremy, come on up. I'm not done, but I've said what I need to say today. You have to realize, I want you to listen to me because I'm going to give an altar call. There's two things the devil attacks: his church and his people. When you see spiritual growth happening in your life, and you're taking significant steps towards God, strange things will happen. When you begin to invade the enemy's territory and you begin to share the gospel, like winning hundreds of recovering people, or start a Western Kentucky Dream Center, or increase your tithe, or start sharing your faith with people who don't know Christ, you'll see that draws the attention of an evil world. When you start exposing the enemy and disrobing him. Well, what do you mean? The last couple of months, I've spoke with multiple young men who've been molested. And I was speaking with one of them the other day, and he admitted to me that at the age of 7, he was brutally raped and molested. He sat in front of me for hours and bawled like a baby. But I have learned what to say to those precious people. I said, you were a 7-year-old boy abandoned by your father. And the person that was supposed to take care of you violated you and did you wrong. I said, you were 7. You didn't have the skills or the emotional maturity to understand what was happening to you. That 7-year-old boy did not understand. But yet you've lived your life all of these years blaming yourself, saying it was my fault. I should have screamed. I should have ran and got help. You don't have the faculties to do that when you're 7. Adults are there to protect you. And I remember as I tell these young men these different things, watching the light go off in their head, and they begin to realize that I have believed a lie. I'm 37 years old. I believed a lie about myself all these years. I've believed a lie. That's exposing Satan. When you help someone, you lead someone to understand that they've been believing a lie, that you're not good enough. Now, he may have planted it by your ex-husband. But you started believing you weren't good enough. And when somebody comes to you and they strip that away, things change. When you start breaking with the world and stop hanging around your friends that get drunk all the time, when you start seeing blessings come your way, when you start seeing uncanny favor, you attract spiritual warfare in your life. And without the foolishness of a secret room, you'll never make it through it. He will come in and he will steal from you. He will destroy you. He will confuse you. He'll steal. John 10 and 10 makes it very clear in the Greek. He'll steal from you and act like what he stole is his. So I want you to understand something. What do you do when you get in a foolish room? Number one, you develop a righteous indignation. You don't go into a foolish room praying, now lay me down asleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. That's not the place to pray, our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us of our trespasses. No, that's not the time for those places of prayer. A foolish room requires indignation. When you get fed up with what you're going through, and I'm not talking to the immature, I'm talking to the mature, or those that want to be mature. When you get fed up with what you're going through, it seems like you can't get ahead. It seems like you take 5 steps forward and 10 steps back. When you know prosperity is about to come your way and it just seems like everything falls apart. When you're being attacked and you don't understand why you're being attacked, you've just been doing what you should do all along. You need to understand that when you get into a foolish room, there's got to be a different level of indignation. You got to get in that foolish room and you say, in the name of Jesus, devil, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. And God, I am not leaving this place until you touch me. Father, I've had all the stuff, all the crap I'm going to take off of the adversary. God, you promised me prosperity. It seems like every time I turn around, God, I take 10 steps back. You promised me a marriage that was unbelievable, God. And it seems like every time I turn around, you're attacking it. God, you promised me a new job. And Lord, you said if I tithe, you'd bless me. God, I ain't been blessed yet. You told me in Isaiah to remind you of your word. Lord, I'm reminding of you of your word. I've been praying for divine healing. I've been trying to eat what I should eat. And God, you said in Isaiah 53 that you would touch my body and by your stripes I would be healed. God, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke the devil. I rebuke the adversary. I rebuke doubt and unbelief. I command him to get his hands off my children. I command him to take his hands off my job. Devil, in the name of Jesus, I said stop. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over you. God, you are my provider. You are my Jehovah Nisi. You are my better of war. I don't fight the adversary by myself. I fight the adversary through the power and the anointing of the Almighty God. This is not a fairy tale. I have had enough. Devil, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. God of heaven and earth, stand up and perform your word. Do you? You remember, timing is everything. But let's go a little deeper just for a second. If you give me just a few moments. Daniel 10 says, I fasted for 10 days. And never got my answer. Angel comes and says to the man of God, God heard you when you prayed the first time. But the prince of Persia held up your prayer in the spiritual world. You got to learn how to pray with authority. And let me tell you something about authority. You need to listen to me. When Daniel was told, in the book Daniel chapter 10, that his prayer was being held up because of spiritual warfare, something really interesting happened. The angel said, I went and got Michael the archangel. Go read Ephesians 6. Structures. And he came back, and we together fought the prince of Persia. And God, we won, and it opened up for you. Now, Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 says, for those of you who have started living a clean life, that if you're not careful, after God evicts the evil out of your life and sweeps the floor, that if you don't stay seeking God, seven more will come back and try to inhabit the place of one. Now, I've heard that preached all my life. I've never been able to defend it theologically till today. If Daniel 10 says that Michael the archangel had to go, or that the angel had to go get Michael the archangel, and that two angels in the heavenlies were needed to take care of a problem, then if there's two angels that can concentrate in uniformity to bring your answer to prayer, then there must also be power in two demons. God says there's sometimes in the foolish room that this comes out only by prayer and fasting. The seven sons of Sceva in the book of Acts, the disciples tried to cast out an evil spirit. And do you know what happened? They got their butt kicked. They were stripped down butt naked and ran away. They came back to Jesus crying and said, we tried to cast these evil spirits out of the seven sons of Sceva. They whooped us, took our clothes, and beat us. And they said, you know what they told us? I can hear Jesus going, what? They said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Let me suggest that when a demon tells you, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? You should call for Sister Justice or Wanda Knight or Edith Joyner, or call for somebody else real quickly, because you are about to get your tail kicked. That's the problem with staying connected. And so you got to realize there's a timing. You got to go into a foolish room with authority. You got to realize that all things are possible. And you got to get into that place where you push, where you press, push, and pursue. You got to set the right atmosphere to where you bring in the presence of God. You take that quiet place, that foolish prayer room, and you turn on worship that connects you to God. You bring the Holy Spirit into that place. Jude says, building yourself up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You got to put worship music in there, because the devil cannot stand the presence of God. And you got to get your face buried in the carpet, and you got to invite the presence of God to visit you right where you're at that moment in your life. And you got to pray like you're a desperate person. You got to pray like the house is on fire. You got to understand, just don't stand there and just don't stand there. Pray something. You got to pray with desperation and prostration, authenticity, with a laser focus. Put God in remembrance of what you're asking. Be bold. Have a spirit of intercession. Make sure God breaks you through. If you want me to pray for you today, for the power to learn how to pray in a foolish room, On the count of three, get up and stand right here. One, two, three, go.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.